Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Amen and amen. All right, today let's get into this. Now, like I said, this is something I'm really excited to talk to you about because it's one of my favorite things to talk about. Now, every time we get up at the pulpit in this church, we always talk about the Word. But today we're actually talking about the Word. I don't know if it's just because ever since I was born, the way God put me together, I was just born a massive nerd. I remember back in the day before we had Wikipedia and the internet, one of my favorite things to do was to read the dictionaries and encyclopedias. Pray for me, pray for my wife, pray for my children. But I remember we had like this encyclopedia set, and God, we must have got them from a thrift store, but it was like medical books, so I knew way too much way too soon, and I just remember sitting on the carpet in my bedroom, just reading through them and going through all these unique things. So, I don't know if that's one of the reasons why I love to read the Word is because I just am studious by nature. But I want to tell you this: is you don't have to be a scholar to understand the Word. You just have to be willing to put the time and the work in. And look, if you're married in this place, I know you know how to put the time and work in, because there's no way you would have found that wife or lured that man in unless you learned a couple things and worked a couple things to get them to choose to spend the rest of your life with them. You know, and that's what it is. I find this is that we have exactly what we want. We get the things that we desire, and we work for the things that we want to be a part of our lives. And today, I would love to encourage you to begin to put all of that effort that we have on the inside of us to the Word, to understanding who God is, and to seeing what this book has. Because too much blood has been spilled to keep this book safe and pure for us to let it sit on the shelf. There's too much effort. God has done too many miracles to allow this to just become another thing that sits on our bookshelf, or maybe it balances out our lopsided coffee table at home, right? There's too many good things that God wants to get in us, in here, and we have to be able to put the effort and the work into it. So, I wanna read a verse to you that maybe you're familiar with. Proverbs 3, verse 1. It says, my son, or daughter, depending who you are in this place, my son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. Now, whenever you read commandments, law, what you can hear and read and put in there is that's God's word speaking to you. It's not just like a rule book, like, oh, you know, we got a red flag over here, a yellow flag over there. You went speeding, you're going 50 in a 45 zone. Get out of that mentality where it's just rules and regulations. It's God's desires, it's God's way. He wants us to do life. But let your heart keep my commandments. A few verses down in Proverbs 3, 5, it says, trust, here's one you know, in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Today, what we're talking about is the road to the good life. Everybody in this place wants to live not just a good life, but the good life. That's what we go to work for. That's what we have retirements for. That's why we try to get our kids not to be crazy and just be quiet. It's a 20-minute drive. Can you not scream at each other for 5 minutes, please? I don't know. It's a thing that we do when we try to manage the relationship and the conflict at work with our boss. We try to get that good life. The Bible calls it being blessed, empowered to succeed. And the road to that is when you begin to love the Word. This is what I mean. It says here, it says, trust in the Lord and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. See, here's the challenge with life, and I know I've experienced this before, is it's really hard to figure out sometimes if you're doing a good job. Sometimes you just don't know, am I where I need to be? And a lot of times the way we determine whether or not our life is blessed or good is because we compare our lives to other people, right? Like, that's what you do. You've been taught this all your life. Any good, decent American knows that, you know, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But it only matters how you play the game if you win, right? It's not about winning, it's about having fun. But I'm only having fun if I'm winning, And maybe it's just me, but that's the way I was kind of, you know, that's the way I think sometimes. Because if I'm not going to be good at it, I'm not going to play that game, all right? That's why I don't do basketball. The Lord didn't bless me this way. So in our lives, that's the only way oftentimes we can tell whether or not we're doing good. And that's where we get a lot of anxiety from. I should have been married. I'm this old because all my friends are getting married. I wish my kids would be more like, and then you begin to secretly hate them because you want what they have. We begin to measure, am I doing a good job? Because I read this book one time and they said, my kid should be developed at this stage, at this place. We say, oh, this person got a promotion, but the way I work is so much harder than them. And we begin to compare our lives. We begin to lean on our own understanding. Why? Because there's no other way of determining whether we're doing good in life. It's a social media game, it's a paycheck game, it's a relationship game, it's all these different things that we begin to say, how do I know if I'm doing life right? And it's one that we'll never win at because that's not the standard by which we're supposed to live on. So what happens is when we have unmet expectations, I said it a million times, I'll say it a million more. When you have unmet expectations, that brings disappointment because I want this, I don't have it, life sucks. That's the way we oftentimes live. I know that because this is me speaking to myself. It should be. But the problem, like I mentioned, is that we're using an incorrect measure. If you really want to know whether your life is good, you've got to know the right things to win at. You've got to know the right way to measure it. And Proverbs tells us right here. Proverbs is the book that tells you how to get the good life. They have these wisdom books right there in the middle of the Bible, and it tells you this is what the good life is supposed to be. This is the way we're supposed to think. And it says you don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord, turn away from evil, and then it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. You see, this is where it all boils down. Remember hearing a story about a fellow named Chuck Yeager. If you don't know who Chuck Yeager is, he is a legend when it comes to flight. He was probably one of the greatest Air Force test pilots that we'd ever seen. First man to break the sound barrier, and this guy was just killing it at a time when there was a lot of really scary things about aeronautics that we didn't know about. Chuck Yeager, he tells a story about one time he was testing an F-86 Spectre, and he was blasting over the Sierra Mountains, and he knew that he had a friend that lived by one of the lakes. So he said, I'll go ahead and buzz him. I'll get really low and make a whole lot of racket and scare the daylights out of this guy. So he takes so there he is, just blasting six or so hundred miles an hour in this test jet. He takes it down to 150 feet, and he begins to cross over the mountain, approaching the lake. And he does, you know, what any hotshot will do. He begins to roll the jet. And the problem, though, is there he is, 150 feet above ground. And he begins to roll the jet, and all of a sudden, upside down, the wings lock, and he's stuck. And he's trying to complete the roll. He's trying to complete the barrel roll, and he can't do it. So all of a sudden, he gets his wits about it. He pulls the airplane up, and the jet goes 15,000 feet in the air so he can be safe. You know, 150 feet off the ground, 600 miles an hour, nobody wants to be there. So he begins to take it 15,000 feet up in the air. All of a sudden, the wings loosen, and he can begin to fly at the right horizon. Now, being a test pilot, he has to figure out what's going wrong. So he begins to roll again 15,000 feet up, and he locks up. He has to take it up, and the wings release. And he does this 2, 3, 4 times until he figures, okay, so this barrel roll was a problem. Lands at the Air Force base, and he begins to tell his superior officers. So they take this plane, and they pull it apart piece by piece. And the way that you build jets, I guess, is you just log everything. I mean, if you're the military, you love paperwork, so that's the way it goes. So they pull every piece apart, and they finally discover what the problem was. It's one bolt. One bolt. And it had been installed upside down. They run the paper trail and find out there's this elderly guy in the Midwest. They locate him, and they talk to him. And they're like, hey, what's going on? We noticed you were the guy that put this bolt in the aileron. What happened? He said, oh, yeah, yeah, I just put it in. Bolt head up. And they said, wait. Head up? The instructions here say you're supposed to put it upside down, head down. No. Everybody knows you never put a bolt in head down. So I just put it in head up. He thought he knew better than the directions. They didn't have the heart to tell him that 4 jets had downed and killed their pilots because he decided he knew better than the directions and he put the bolt in head up. Were it not for Yeager's ability to keep a cool head, then he would have been pilot number 5. They discovered it, figure he got reassigned, and it's bolt down. It's funny when we decide we know better than the directions. You know, it's funny when we decide, wait, God, I know that's what the Bible says. Bolt up, head up. And the difficulty is he never would have known, more pilots could have died, and he never would have known the destruction that he caused were it not for the fact that somebody found the location of this challenge. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding. If you really want to know how to lead your life through the road to the good life, it's about time we begin to have a greater understanding of, God, what are you telling me? What are you trying to tell me through this book? Where in my life is the bolt head up when it should be head down? God, what parts of my life need a little bit of tweak because I keep on getting stuck in this one place in life? My relationships keep on stalling at this one place in life. My job, I just can't stay at a job for more than a year and a half because I keep on getting stalled. My kids always get frustrated at this point. God, I just lose my temper. I find myself stalled in places. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, lean not, fear the Lord. You know, it's funny, the word fear of the Lord, it's kind of a creepy word, you know? And a lot of times we get stuck on that. And fear of the Lord, I want to boil it down really simple. Because the fear of the Lord, it's kind of a word that fits somewhere in between being terrified, being in absolute awe, and being mystified. It's somewhere within that range. But it always boils down to this. The fear of the Lord, if you want to know a definition of what's the fear of the Lord, do I fear the Lord? It means this one word that nobody likes, and that's the word obedience. How do you have the fear of the Lord? It's obedience. How do you know if you don't fear the Lord? You're not obedient. Ouch. Oh, I'm preaching myself right now. And this is the bottom line, because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What's wisdom? Wisdom is having the skills needed to get you to the good life. The fear of the Lord has to do with the heart behind the way I live. The wisdom has to do with the way I choose to live my life. So if I have the right heart and the right way, and when they work together, all of a sudden they produce the right results. Three people were excited. I have to let them calm down. Oh, man. And this is where we need to be. Because the fear of the Lord, my obedience, my saying, God, you know which way my life should be turned. And it's me acting on it. Obedience with the skill of life. And together that produces the good life. And how do we get that? By knowing the word. You see, the word is the thing that shows me the way to the good life. The word of God shows me the way to the good life. There's this amazing verse in Psalm 128, and it says in Psalm 128, verse 1 and 2, it says, blessed, that's what I want, the good life. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. It's funny because the way God lays it out is something that's, it's said differently in the New Testament, but it means the exact same thing. When you fear the Lord and walk in his paths, what it means is you have faith and works working together. I have a belief and I'm acting on it. I have a trust and I'm acting on it. And that produces the miraculous in my life. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor with your hands and you shall be blessed and it shall be well with you. All those things that you and I want all happen because we do those things. There's another verse that says in Joshua 1:8, maybe you're familiar with it. It says, this book of the law, God's words, will not depart from my mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you can be careful to do according to all that's written in it. Then, then, if then, it's a consequence. It's a result from doing this thing. If you do this, then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That's the good life. That's the life that you want. If you don't know how to figure out how to deal with your kids, if you don't know how to figure out how to deal with friends that you're having challenges with, family members, the one that you want to X out this Thanksgiving, if you want to know how to live through and make it through these holidays, you have to be able to work in the fear of God with wisdom. Not just knowing what to do, but actually doing it. See, wisdom is knowing what, when, and how to do the thing you ought to do, because knowledge is just not enough. You see, it's the way that we begin to live that good life. And the good life is based in our relationship with God. You see, when you understand the word, then you understand that it's based on relationship. It's not based on knowledge, not based on how much you understand or how much you can memorize. It's all based on your relationship with God. Because the word of God is the way God relates to us. A couple weeks ago, I was talking with a teenager. And she's a 16-year-old girl, and we were talking, and one of the questions I ask people is, what are you reading? That's just what I like to do. Hey, what are you reading? What are you reading? And then they always say, what do you mean? Like, websites? Like, we're in church, you mean the Bible? Like, a book? And I say, what are you reading? What's feeding your soul? So I walk up to this teenager, and I say, hey, what are you reading? And she says, you mean like the Bible? And I said, yeah, sure. What are you reading in the Bible? She said, Wait. If you're not reading the Bible, that's okay. I'm not judging you. It's good. Everybody starts somewhere. Yeah, I don't really read the Bible. I said, well, what's up? Why don't you read the Bible? She said, I think it'll take like a year to do. It's like a really big book. And I said, well, yeah, you know, it's a big book, but you don't got to read the whole thing at like one sitting. You can start somewhere. Well, I don't really know where to start. A classic conversation, maybe you're there too. I don't really know where to start. I said, well, okay, well, what do you need in your life? Where are you at? She said, well, I don't know. I mean, you've been kind of discouraged lately. I said, okay, well, discouraged, having a rough time. Okay, let's do this. Psalm 91. We opened up right there in the youth cafe area. We opened up and I said, okay, let's read this. We got this, that, this, then the other. This, that. Oh, that's really good. I really like that. And she said, do you have anything else? So Psalm 42, we can go to that one, Psalm 42. She begins, she opens up the Bible and she begins to read Psalm 42 to herself. And there she is halfway through the Psalm and her eyes are welling up with tears. And she looks at me and I'm like, don't do this to me. I'm not ready. And we both, our eyes are like filled with tears. I'm like, I hate you. And she's like, I didn't know this was in here. She's like, look at this. And she begins to read it to me. And as we're going through Psalm 42, she has this connection with the Holy Spirit. God might have been there just putting his arm over her shoulder, reading it to her. You see, her diving into the word, someone who never reads the Bible, scared, intimidated by it, she begins to have this holy moment between her and the Spirit. And he begins to do something inside of her that no other person, no therapist could do. No good intentioned advice could do. No pill upper or downer could do. And she begins to have this moment with the word where God became real. And I got to be a part of it. You see, the word is the foundation. It's the basis to our relationship with God. I would tell you this, you will not know God if you do not know your Bible. Bottom line. Now look, I know we can look at nature and people say, the lake is my church service. Yeah, fine, okay, whatever. Yeah, you and your sunburn, do that. Get close to Jesus. But you cannot have a serious relationship with God without knowing your Bible. I mean, God can do the miraculous and he can do a lot of wild and crazy things, but I'm pretty sure to say if you live in America with as much access to the word as you do, God is waiting for you to pick up your Bible and open it up, because you cannot know him apart from it. And here's how I can confidently say that, is because God decided from the very beginning of time and he said, this is how I'm going to show you who I am. He said, this is how I'm gonna show you who I am. Not through a mystical dream, not through a big sign in the sky. He said, I am going to preserve this book of moments of me interacting with the world, and I'm going to show you who I am through this book. If God decided to say, this book here is how I want you to know me, then we ought to listen to it, because we're trying to get to know him. And he said, this is how I want it. But Pastor Richard, if only God would show up, if God, only God would just open the sky and show up, well, if you read your Bible, you'd see he did that. He did it on the top of a mountain where lightning and fire came down and the people were like, oh my gosh, stay away from it. Oh, and then he did it again when they opened up the temple and the cloud came down and people fell over and it was wild. Oh wait, he did it again when the other temple opened up. Oh wait, he did it again when he tore open the sky and he landed on the hearts of the believers, 120 on the upper room. And he, look, if you read your word, you'll see that God has been revealing himself in so many different ways. But we've missed it because we haven't been paying attention. He has been rending the skies and peeking in at us. He's been popping up in your heart from the very beginning, the first breath you took on this earth. He's been showing up in your life. Every heartbeat, every inhale, every exhale, he's been doing it. If we'll only listen. You see, it's the basis of our relationship. And if we would do well, we would crack it open and we would learn how to love it. John 14:21, out of Jesus' own mouth, he said, whoever has my commandments, my word, the scripture, the words that come from God's mouth, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, remember, heart, wisdom, together, acting together, he it is who loves me. Who loves God? Who loves you? Who's close? Is the one who knows and keeps his commandments. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest. I will open the sky. I will enter your heart. I will manifest. That means God will show up to you. You will get the notification that the Holy Spirit is there because you know the word. That's what opens the manifestation of God in your life. If you feel far away from God, then you are one page turn away from a manifestation of God. And then Judas, not Iscariot, I like how the Bible describes that, not that guy, says, right? Bummer. Judas, not Iscariot, says to Jesus, well, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself and not the world? I like it. You always have the joker in the back. But Jesus, don't be that guy. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Father will love him, and he'll come to him and make his home, close dwelling, manifestation, and a proximity. He will make his home with him who knows the word. If God decided to speak to us that way, why would we ignore it? And then you begin to see, this is the clincher, is that the word of God that he gave us, now I want this to build a desire inside of you. The word of God is the tool that creates a new life in us. The word of God is the method by which God changes your life. And the word tells us that the anointing breaks every yoke. How many people have had some broken yokes in this place? But the problem is, the next day they pick it right back up, super glue that sucker and put it on them again. We have people jump from deliverance to deliverance, miracle to miracle. And the problem is this, is that God is doing a real work in your life. He is setting you free, and then we put it on repeat. He sets you free again, because he's faithful, and he'll set you free again. But the problem is not that God's not setting you free. The problem is that we're not building our life back up to a place that gets beyond the deliverance. You see, the Holy Spirit will set you free, but it's the word of God that will keep you free. Because his power will come in and he'll begin to break those addictions. But Jesus began to tell a story in the New Testament about a man who had a really clean house and he kept it empty. Some squatters moved in because he didn't fill it back up. You see, the Holy Spirit will make you free, but then the Holy Spirit wants to use the word of God to keep you free in your life. If you don't fill yourself up with the word, then you will be that same old broke, struggling sinner trying to be a saint day after day. Jeremiah 31, this is the promise that God spoke through Jeremiah thousands of years ago. And he spoke it talking about today. Jeremiah 31, it says, "For this is the covenant, this is the agreement, this is the promise that I will make with the house of Israel." That's us. "After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law, my word, inside of them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." There are no orphans in this room. No longer shall one man say to his neighbor, his brother, saying, "Know the Lord." Why? Because they shall know me. This is not saying that nobody gets to teach each other, but it's saying this, is that the Holy Spirit will, if you seek, be found. If you knock, it'll be answered. If you ask, the answer will come to you. It'll no longer be said, "Know the Lord," because they will know me. "From the least to the greatest, declares the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." God says that when you begin to allow God to write in your heart what he wants, you will begin to live it. What you fill yourself up with is what you will spill on everybody else around you. Because you're a cup, you're a container, and your cup will runneth over. Whether your cup is runneth over with Game of Thrones or the one who sits on the throne. Come on now, somebody. That's for the Twitter. See, this is what builds life change in us, is getting into the word of God. And I love it because what God's telling us today is this, is that God wants to write it on our heart. And this dictates to us a direction. You see, a lot of times what happens with us is we'll approach the word and we'll say, "What do I want to find today, Lord? I'm on a scavenger hunt. I need a blessing, Lord." And there it is. And a lot of times we'll approach the word as if we have come to tame it. We've come to say, "God, I need my three wishes today." And poof, there's Will Smith. Robin Williams. "Well, I want you to be my guest, Lord." And we approach it the wrong way. I've often said that you're not reading your Bible until it makes you mad. If you're not disagreeing with the Bible, if you're not like, "Why is that in there?" If you're at a place where you say, "I just don't understand that. That's weird." If you've never wanted to pick up your Bible and throw it across the room because it disgusts you, then you have not yet read your Bible. Because I believe the Bible is like a lion that you let out of a cage and you try not to get mauled by it. Because when I know I'm reading the Bible, it feels like God is exposing the parts of my life that need to be changed. When I look at it, when I open the Bible and I know that I'm really reading it and the Holy Spirit's really talking to me, it's not making me feel bad, but it's saying, "Oh my gosh." It's like looking in a mirror saying, "That's on my face? How long has it been there?" Because the Holy Spirit is showing me who I am. You see, I don't come to the Bible to say, "This is what I need from you, God." I come to the Bible saying, "God, what do you want to say to me today?" I don't tell the Bible what it means. It tells me what I need. Because God is the one writing it on my heart. And I say, "God, I don't need that today." Obviously, you did. Otherwise, he wouldn't have served it to you. See, we need to be able to approach the word in such a way that says, "God, what do you want to do in my life? God, what do you need changed in me today? God, where do I need to let the lion of the word come and begin to move in my life and overtake me? Where do I need to go? Where do you want me to be in this place in my life?" You see, all our lives, we have created a framework by which we understand the world. When you were little, you found out whether the world was safe or dangerous. When you went through junior high or high school, you found out in some degree where you fit into certain social structures. You discovered at a really early age what makes you feel better when you're stressed. Whether that's, you know, whether that's food, whether that's sex, whether that's stirring up drama, jumping in a new relationship, trying to get better grades, make more money. We figured out different ways. We create a framework by which we live our life. Now the problem is this, is that it's wrong. We oftentimes create our view of the world based on our own understanding. The bolt always goes head up. Never goes upside down. Anybody would tell you that. And the word of God, when you rightly unleash it into your life, because you want to know God and you want the blessed life, because of the relationship you have with him, and because you've set it free into your life to create new life, what God does is he tears down your framework. People can be dangerous, but you can trust me so you can trust them. You begin to say, I prayed for this one time, it didn't happen, so, and God will begin to tell you, no. You didn't come for the blessing, you came for the blesser. And God begins to build up a new way that you begin to look at life. And we have for too long have allowed a political party, we have for too long allowed a cultural structure and ethnicity. Look, these are all wonderful things and these are all ways of figuring out how the world works, but it can't become more important than understanding the way God describes reality and the way the world actually works. And that needs to be first in our lives. This is the covenant God wants to make with you. I want to take that heart of stone away and put a heart of flesh inside of you. On that heart, I want to write my word. So what? What's in you begins to spill out of you. And you begin to look and live like Jesus more and more every day. This is why I read the word. At least it's why I try to. This is why I made a decision not to get bored with this book. You know, and this is not a pat on my back because I've never successfully done it before. Every January, I always try to read the Bible in an entire month. The whole Bible, 1 month. And people say I'm crazy because maybe I am. And I've never finished it before. I usually end up all the way through the Old Testament. And then one year I was like, man, I'm never gonna get to Jesus if I don't do something about this. So I started in the New Testament first and I finished that one, and that was as far as I got. But I figure it's always worth a try. You know, if you're in this place, you gotta start somewhere. Last week, I had one of our 17-year-olds approach me, and Abraham said, Pastor Richard, what should I read in the Bible? I don't understand it really. And I said, okay, well, pick something easy. I said, read the book of Ephesians, but I want you to read it all in one sitting. 20 minutes, you're done. But read the whole book of Ephesians. And then I said, I want you to read it once a day if you can. Get an audio Bible, and then I want you to listen to it as well. Listen to it, try to read it. And then, you know, you'll have read it like 3, 4, 5 times in the week. And then come back to me next week and we'll talk about it. Abraham came back to me yesterday and we talked about it. And I said, so what do you think? What's God trying to do there? And he began to tell me, well, I listened to it, this and that, and when I heard it, it made a lot of sense. And he began to say all these different things. I said, I think this is the big idea, this and that. And he just read a decent part of the Bible, and he did it consistently, and he began to learn that it was more than just a verse or a saying. God's trying to do something in somebody's life. Start somewhere. Take a book, easy one, Philippians, James, 1 John. Look in the table of contents if you don't know what I'm talking about, and read it. Listen to it. At least once a day for the next week. I mean, you're gonna spend 20 minutes going to work anyway, right? Might as well go through Philippians in your car. Not reading, but listening. Don't read in your car, please. Otherwise, you'll meet Jesus really quick. And then you can just ask him what it means there. But start somewhere. Do something. Dive into it. A lot of people don't like reading their Bible just because they feel like they're not any good at it. And nobody likes to do what they're not good at. So start somewhere, start small, and then you'll get big. If you don't understand it, simple. The word of God is revealed to us in two ways, the Holy Spirit and the community. If you don't understand the word, you go to the Spirit and you go to your community. That's your church, your pastors, your leaders, trusted scholars, authors of pastors, things like that. You go to those two places and that's where you learn the word of God. Now the Spirit always trumps the community, but the Spirit will never talk against Scripture. So that's how you begin to learn and get better at this thing, understanding the word. If you've ever been in a relationship, then you understand they don't make any sense at the beginning. I mean, and after you get married, after 20 years, they still don't make sense. But they begin to make a little more sense than they did before. God will always be a mystery. You'll never figure him out. But he does have a tendency to share his secrets with the ones who chase after him. Today, if you got anything out of God today, let's give him praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.